It was another embarrassing weekend for the New York Yankees as they once again got swept by their rivals, the Boston Red Sox. Where do the Yankees go from here? We don't have many definitive answers, but we're sure going to try to figure it out for you on this brand new episode of the Pinstripe Talk podcast, which begins right now.
You are listening to the Pinstripe Talk podcast.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to yet another edition of the Pinstripe Talk podcast, powered to you by Delahanty Media. I am your host, Nick Delahanty, and I'm sure as many of you already are, it is a very frustrating weekend for the New York Yankees as they got swept once again by the Boston Red Sox, this time at Fenway Park. The Yankees dropped to 0-6 on the year against their rival from Boston. No good whatsoever. Yankees leave Fenway Park 6.5 games out of the division, and instead of having a series in which the Yankees could have convinced everybody that they were on the right path to getting back, the Yankees took about 5 steps back in that process and have everybody really sitting back and thinking, where does this team go from here? I don't have any definitive answers. Those answers have to come from the organization as a whole, but I am going to try to decipher all of it for you on this brand new episode of the show. Now, as you all know, usually I like to go through each game, break down the key components, some key at-bats, some key guys, but I am going to mix and match a little bit with this one because, to be honest with you, this series was very frustrating to me to watch and listen to on the radio and things like that. So many different things that stand out to me, and I'll try to touch on them all during this broadcast. Before we get into all of that, reminder, follow us on social media at Pinstripe Talk ND on Twitter. My personal account at Nick Delahanty. If you want to talk some Yankees baseball or some Carolina basketball, that's the place to hit me up. And of course, we're on Facebook by searching up Pinstripe Talk Podcast. Like I mentioned a couple of moments before, we are a proud member of the Delahanty Media brand. Make sure you follow us on all social media platforms by looking up Delahanty Media. We are now on Twitter as well, so hit that hashtag Delahanty Media and give us a follow. We do follow back. And of course, our podcast available on all podcasting platforms, starting with Apple Podcasts and Spotify, the two major ones. But then you have Google Play Music, TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio, you name it, the show is there available for you. Make sure you subscribe, rate, and review on whatever platform you choose to listen to our show, or your feedback is greatly appreciated. Looking at this series, and I've had some time to reflect on it, I know that we are recording this episode just a couple of hours after the third game was finalized. This series really brought out some of the things that make this Yankees team as inconsistent as they are. Number one, you look at the starting pitching. This was a big question coming into the year, whereas you knew, or you thought you knew, what you had with Gerrit Cole, but everything else was basically a huge question mark. And although they answered the question mark nicely at the beginning of the year, that's at a time where you thought you would have had or been close to having Luis Severino back. You thought that Corey Kluber could stay healthy. You figured that Jameson Taillon would be better than he's been. But unfortunately, that has not been the case. And the starting pitching was not very good in this series. Domingo Germán in Game 1 clearly did not have it. In Game 2, Jordan Montgomery was really hurt by soft contact. You know, he didn't pitch relatively poorly, but he got beat by a bunch of nonsense. And he battled through 6 innings, and he got the Yankees in a position to stay in the game and give the Yankees a chance to win the game. 4 of the 8 hits that Montgomery allowed had a hit probability of less than 25%. So if you're looking at the numbers, Montgomery had a lot of no luck in this one. And that sounds weird. No luck whatsoever. It just happens. It's the game of baseball. But he was able to battle, and he gave the Yankees a solid start that at least kept them in the ballgame. And then in Game 3, after losing Game 1 and 2, you figure that Gerrit Cole would come and stop the bleeding. However, Cole was not good. The very first pitch that Cole threw was hit by Kike Hernandez onto the Green Monster. And Cole was not good overall, out 6 runs. Yeah. Everybody's going to talk about the sticky stuff situation. You know, since Major League Baseball started cracking down, Cole's numbers haven't been as elite. And yes, I know it's a small sample size, and I still think that Cole is a very quality pitcher and a very smart pitcher and is going to figure it out. But you have to start thinking and putting thoughts into your mind of, was he as successful as he was because of having such a good grip? And where does this take him moving forward? What kind of pitcher do the Yankees have for the next 7 years? You know, this is a problem that's not going away. And we saw the first ejection on Sunday, not in the Yankees-Red Sox series, but in Major League Baseball over the use of substances by pitchers. You know, Cole's going to have to adjust just like everybody else will. And early on, it seems like he's having a little trouble doing so. So the starting pitching is a big question mark. And, you know, that's something that moving forward, they got to figure out. You're not going to get Kluber back till September. Severino's probably not back till August. What do you do? Montgomery's been okay. Grimán was good at the beginning and he's been terrible. Tyone's been a little better of late, but nothing you could really write home about. Michael King can't get an out in the first inning, but he's good other than that. And you got guys like Clark Schmidt in the minors who's still not healthy. Davey Garcia, who's getting lit up by AAA hitters. There's no real solution on this Yankee team. And that's where a lot of the issues do start. And then, obviously, you got to look at the bullpen. And there's been guys that have been really good. Jonathan Loaisiga, Chad Green, Lucas Lickey. What a find he's been. But, and I tweeted this on my personal account over the last couple of days, and I hope that you guys took a chance to read it. I really hope that after looking at the Chapman and Britton deals, the Yankees shy away from dishing out big contracts to relievers. The way the game is changing and the way the game is going on a trend, everybody is trending toward young, hard-throwing relief pitchers, right? A lot of people have them in their organization. It's very hard to find a team that doesn't have 4 to 5 guys that come out of the bullpen and throw 100 miles per hour. It's just so common now. And the way the game is changing, you can get away with having young guys in your bullpen doing the work. Yeah, you know, Chapman's been an elite closer over his career. Really hasn't done it for the Yankees in the playoffs. But, you know, I guess if you're an old school fan and like that comfort in the back end, it really isn't a comfort at that point because Chapman's been bad as of late. And it's not just a, you know, an instant reaction to his last 11 or 12 outings. It's just overall. And Zach Britton, who ended up on the injured list once again, he's another guy that can't stay healthy. 33 years old. To be honest with you, he kind of looks out of shape. Remember, he dealt with some COVID issues and things like that. So, you know, you have to take everything into consideration. But he's another guy who hasn't been able to stay on the field. But the Yankees paid him big money. And then you look at the flip side. They were trying to stay under the luxury tax and decided to basically give away two relievers to the Red Sox. One being Garrett Whitlock, who has been dominant against them this year. We saw him a bunch in this series against the Red Sox. And the other one is Adam Ottavino, who the Yankees basically said, you know, take his contract, you can have him. And he seems to be back on track to being one of the better relievers in the game. So, yes, I do think that there are room for quality relievers. And obviously, you know, you want to have guys like Britton and Chapman who could close out games and you know the pedigree of what they bring. But when you're trying to penny pinch and not overpay people, paying those guys a lot of money to pitch at the back end of games is really not paying off for them. And it ended up hurting them. Because they ended up trading Ottavino to bring in a guy like Darren O'Day, who hasn't really done much for him. Justin Wilson, who was bad before he ended up on the injured list. And Brett Gardner, who you guys already know, I think doesn't have any room in the Yankee starting lineup. It's just very frustrating to see. So, overall, starting pitching, no solution at hand right now. You just hope that Cole figures it out and go from there. In the future, I want to see more young guys in the relief spot. And you know what? The Yankees got to do a better job of keeping the guys they need or the guys that are going to be valuable. They let Whitlock slip away because they didn't have room on the 40-man roster to keep him. They really need to figure that out. And they kept a guy like Brooks Krisky, who, no offense to him, is not a big league arm. You know, some of those decisions are going to come back to haunt the Yankees. And Whitlock seems like a guy that isn't going anywhere for the near future. He's been really good for the Red Sox. Good for him. So, yes, the pitching is a big issue. However, the offense has been utterly pathetic. You know, they have the name the Bronx Bombers because they're used to hitting a lot of home runs. But when you don't hit a lot of home runs, something really has to give. And you have to hit with runners in scoring position. I'm going to use an example. If the Yankees have a runner on first base and Aaron Judge hits a home run, right, the runner scores. And that makes up for the fact that you can't hit with runners in scoring position. But if you're not hitting the long ball and you're not hitting for power, you get a lot more instances where you need to produce by playing some small ball. Getting a base hit to right field. Putting a ball into the gap. Doing the little things. But this Yankees team consistently fails to do that. Over the weekend, numerous times, they had chances with the bases loaded. Go to game two. Yankees had two chances with the bases loaded deep in the game. Eighth inning, Luke Voit comes up against Ottavino, unable to get the job done. Aaron Judge, same situation in the ninth. Right guy, right spot, right? Judge goes down looking. Game three, same situation. Yankees down 6-2. Judge comes up with the bases loaded. Judge pops out. Threat over. Red Sox come back, score a couple more runs, and that's your ball game. So they have to start producing with runners in scoring position. It just has to happen. They haven't done it. And they keep saying, oh, we have to turn the page. Well, obviously, somebody's got to turn the page. Somebody has to make an adjustment. Somebody has to step up and be the guy in the clubhouse that says, you know, we're tired of this. The way this is going, this is not working out. And when you watch this team defensively, they are one of the worst defensive teams and baseball-minded teams you'd ever see. I want to take you through a couple of plays in Game 3 that really stood out to me, per se. First one, first and second, I believe there was no out. Fly ball to Andujar in left field. Now, mind you, Andujar's not a typical outfielder, but if you're around the game for so long, you should be able to make a play and know where the ball needs to go. It's common denominator, and you can go to a high school field, and those players know. You're around the game for so long, it becomes second nature. Fly ball to Andujar. He makes the catch. Instead of throwing the ball to second base, keeping Martinez, who's not a good runner, at first, Andujar fires to third base, a bad throw up the line, and both runners are safe. Then, a little while later, fly ball to Frazier and right, runners on second and third, Clint throws in the ball, and the ball is nowhere near home plate. I know that Yankee fans are ready to absolutely rip Clint Frazier, and I'm going to give my take on him in a little bit because you know how much I do like Clint Frazier, but I don't want to throw him under the bus, but I will have my say about how I think about what he's doing right now. But when you look at this team right now, Gleyber Torres is ineffective at shortstop. His confidence is so low. He's not hitting. Recently, he's been hitting better of late, but again, he's not making the plays in the field, and he's making you question whether or not the Yankees made the right move of moving him from second base. And all signs point to, you know what, the Yankees messed up on that part. And DJ LeMahieu started the year 255 around average. Last 15 games has really been turning it up a notch. He had a big 4-for-5 game in game two. But again, if you got a couple of guys hitting and the rest of the lineup is inconsistent and not doing the job, you're basically in a lost cause. And then you look at center field. I like the Yankees putting Judge out there, and I appreciate the effort he's putting out there because I know it's not easy for him, especially given his size and stature. You know, he's a guy that really portrays well in right field. But when you look at the Yankees' options, it's either him or Brett Gardner. They definitely don't want to put Clint out there, and I understand why, and I do apologize because I went on a rant last show about this. Yes, I am a man who can admit his flaws. And one of the flaws that I brought up last show was to give Frazier some time in center field. That was dumb. But But I will give you an alternate solution in just a moment. And then you just look defensively. They just look lost. It's just incredible. Now, is there a way to fix this from within? Yes, there is. Shake it up. For starters, the Yankees have that minor leaguer Park who's absolutely hitting the cover off the ball. Why not bring him up and let him play shortstop a couple of days a week? Maybe see if he can handle center field. They have been giving him reps out there. Give a fresh set of energy. I don't want to say bring Chris Gittens back up because he started mashing in the minor leagues, but another guy who could really help you. Trey Ambergie. You mean to tell me that he can't come up and play the outfield every day for you? Maybe send down Clint and let him get a fresh start back in the minor leagues. Not as a punishment, but as a reset. You know, maybe he does need that little bit of a reset to just get back on track. It seems like everything he does, there's pressure, and that it's frustrating to him. And that as the days go on, he's starting to think, do I really have a long-term stay here, or am I just a temporary fix? And as good as Andujar's bat's been recently, and it kind of cooled off a bit, is he really a guy you portray as an everyday left fielder? To me, I don't think so. So maybe one of those other guys I mentioned or somebody else that they have in mind in the minor leagues could come up and bring up a spark. Does it hurt to try? I know they have a bunch of names that people don't want to see sitting or not playing, but what's the difference between Park and Wade? What's the difference between Frazier and Ambergie right now? There's nothing. It doesn't hurt. Put Torres on the bench for a couple of days. One of the big issues with this team is there's no drive. There's no fight. There's nobody in that clubhouse that's saying, you know what, let's get on damn track here. Nobody. You mean to tell me that Gardner's the leader of the clubhouse and he's hitting 198? To be honest with you, if I was in the clubhouse, if I was a guy like Clint Frazier and Gardner told me something and he was like, oh, you know what, you got to pick it up, I'd be like, so do you, buddy. You stink too. There's nobody in that clubhouse that stands up and leads this group. And the manager sure as heck ain't doing that. So yeah, I think shake it up a little bit. Bring up a guy like Park. Tell him, look, you're going to play short every day for a couple of days. Make Gleyber work to get back in the lineup. Bring back that sense of competition and that drive that these guys clearly have lost. It wouldn't hurt to see it. And make some moves. They just are complacent with putting out the same team each and every day, and it hasn't been working. That's what I don't understand. If you're going to tell me that you're trying everything to get back on track, why not make some roster moves? Every other team in the big leagues makes moves when those guys struggle. The Yankees are one of very few who only make moves due to injury. Bring up guys for production. Reward guys for doing well in AAA. Demote the guys that haven't done it in the big leagues. You have the ability to do it. You got to keep a guy like Odor, who does bring a spark, but hasn't done much offensively. Yes, he's clutch and he gets hits and most of his hits are in big moments, but what is he doing otherwise? Wade, useless off the bench. Gardner, useless. I know you can't get rid of him, but he's been useless. Frazier, useless. Gleyber recently, both defensively and offensively useless. It's just very frustrating. So I do want to see some changes. And I would like to see some of these guys who are really heating up in the minor leagues get a chance with the big league club. Who knows? Maybe they bring the energy this team lacks. That may be the change that they need. Like I've already said, you all know how much I love Clint Frazier, but he's clearly not cutting out right now. And, you know, I was an advocate to start him every day in left field. I really was. But when he's on the field recently, he hasn't given anything that would say, you know what, Clint needs to be on the field. Every opportunity that he's had, he's let it go on to the wayside. And then it seems like every single game he makes some kind of boneheaded play that you just sit there and you're like, Clint, you're better than that, man. So I think the best thing for him would be a trip to Scranton. Get some at-bats in, get the confidence back up, play him in one position wherever you think you're going to use him the most, and see what he can do. I eventually think the Yankees are going to trade him. I don't think he has a long-term future here with them, and I'm disappointed by that because I am excited about his possibility of being good, and I still have faith in him, but I just don't think that New York is going to be the place where his career, you know, takes off and continues. Because I do feel like there are people within the organization that still view him as a headache, even though, you know, some will discredit that and say that's not true. What you read is that it seems like he's a handful. You know, maybe it's time for a change of scenery for him. One more thing on the position players before I get into our lovely coaching staff. Kyle Higashioka has been catching Gerrit Cole religiously. Gary Sanchez is arguably, if not the hottest Yankees hitter at the current moment. Why is he not catching Gerrit Cole? Why? I want a valid reason. I don't want this, oh, you know, Cole's personal catcher garbage. Cole's making $300 million plus. At that pay, you should be able to throw to a garbage can. No Astros pun intended there. I don't care how much money he's making. At the end of the day, you need to do what's best for the team. Clearly, Cole would have got shelled with Sanchez behind the plate just like he did with Higashioka behind the plate. Give Sanchez a chance to catch him. You keep saying, oh, this untapped potential we have with Sanchez and, oh, the possibility of what he can do. But yet you won't let him catch your best pitcher? Come on, something's got to give here. Give him a start or two with Cole. The way he's hitting, it's hard to take him out of the lineup. I don't understand why they're playing these games with Higashioka. Yes, Higashioka's going to play, but let him catch the other members of the staff. Take Gary's off days on other days, not just when Gerrit Cole starts. And finally, Aaron Boone. If you follow me on my personal Twitter account, which again is at Nick Delahanty, there were some tweets that I put out this weekend that were not very happy with the Yankees organization. And now if you follow my father, it's even worse. He tweets out the Yankees, and I've been trying to tell him, like, don't do that, bro. Like, we got to keep you on track. Regardless, I tweeted a picture of David Cone and said that I want him to be the Yankees manager. Now, I had to have a friend remind me of this, and trust me, I knew already, but I tried to avoid looking at it. The New York Yankees have not fired a manager in season since 1991. They are not going to fire Aaron Boone during the regular season. I almost could guarantee you that. Do I agree with it? No. The Yankees need a fresh voice, and it's not Aaron Boone who should be leading this team in the future. However, Cashman and Boone are tied hand in hand. They are going to stick together, and what happens with Boone is ultimately going to happen with Cashman. If you're looking at this Yankees team right now, you can make the case that both Cashman and Boone are on the hot seat, that both of their jobs are in jeopardy. And it's also very unfortunate that the Yankees will not go over the luxury tax, because they could make some moves that could help get them on track, but just are not willing to do so. So, in closing, I want Boone gone. I've wanted Boone gone for a while. The recent hot stretch, quote-unquote, that happened before, you know, this, I still wanted him gone. Nothing changed that. I still don't think that he's the right guy for the job. However, I think we're stuck with him for the foreseeable future, at least until the end of the regular season. If the Yankees miss the playoffs, which is very possible, if the Yankees have a short outing in the postseason, if they figure it out and make it, I see Aaron Boone not managing the New York Yankees past this year. I really don't. I don't think he's the guy to lead this team. They have no fire, no desire, no passion, and it's just deja vu all over again. They lead you on by thinking that they're back. They win a series here, they win a series there, and then they throw up a complete clunker. And let's face it, they got the Red Sox a lot more this year. They got to play Tampa more, Toronto more. The division's not a two-team race like it normally is. Boston's having a good year. Tampa's having a good year. Toronto is a couple of pieces away. If they add at the deadline, they're a scary team to watch. It's not an easy division. And the Yankees right now are not giving you any hope or any indication that they're a playoff team in 2021. Yes, things could change. There's a lot of baseball left to be played. But given the recent sample size of the early part of the season, they are not a playoff team. They are not a World Series contending team that they thought we were going to get. They're just simply not. And you know what? It's unfortunate. Has that World Series window kind of closed? You can make the case that it has without the Yankees winning a World Series. You know how difficult that is to swallow? Especially given that when the Yankees signed Gerrit Cole, you thought that essentially that was the missing piece. But right now, you have to look at this team and just be disappointed with what they've been putting on the field. And obviously, and I'm not giving up hope, there's a lot of baseball left to be played. We've seen a lot of crazier things happen. But right now, based on the numbers, based on how the Yankees have been, they're not giving you any indication that this is going to change. Maybe they're just an inconsistently decent team. And that's all we're going to get. You know, it just seems like every show we do, you win a series and it's like, okay, maybe there's some hope. And then you have a deflating series like this where the Red Sox absolutely punch them in the mouth. And you go back and you look at it as a whole and you say, you know what? When are they going to wake up and make some changes or try something different? Because it's obviously not working. It's like putting a round peg in a square hole. But of course, there's more baseball to be played. And the Yankees return home to the Bronx where they'll host the Los Angeles Angels for a series. And we'll see Shohei Ohtani on the mound and at the plate. He'll probably hit one to Jupiter during the series because he's been absolutely crushing the ball. And then the Yankees host the Mets for a 3-game set this weekend. Unfortunately, we missed DeGrom and Cole. DeGrom will not pitch in the Yankee series. He's scheduled to go on Thursday. Gerrit Cole is scheduled to go on Friday. But of course, win, lose, or draw, we'll be here to talk about everything and anything going on with the New York Yankees. If you missed it at the beginning of the show, make sure you follow us on social media, Pinstripe Talk Podcast. Look us up. Give us a follow. My personal account, at Nick Delahanty on Twitter. We're on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, you name it, we're there for you. If you're into sports, you want to hear some more great podcasts, go to DelahantyMedia.com. Check out all the shows that our brand has to offer. And of course, if you like the Pinstripe Talk Podcast, subscribe, rate, and review on whatever podcasting platform you're listening on. All your feedback goes a long way in helping promote our show. As always, I'm your host, Nick Delahanty, and this will wrap up yet another episode of the Pinstripe Talk Podcast, powered by Delahanty Media. Yankee fans, I know it's hard. This has been difficult for me as well, but I am going to leave you with one note. At this point, take a deep breath in, and let's try to forget the Boston series and move on. Win tomorrow, then worry about winning the next day. Take it one day at a time. As always, let's go Yankees. We'll talk to you very soon.